Yeah, okay, so hold on a second. I'm just going to change the phone. Just okay. A minute, hold on.
Thank you.
C'est magique.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And you?
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we are happy to hear you. I am with Bruno.
Hello, Gary.
Yeah, hello, hello. Yeah. Yeah, one day we're going to meet sometime somewhere.
Yes. we found a little sooner than we said because it is 7 p.m. in France now.
7, yeah, that's right. Yeah, here it is almost 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. I am happy to be with Bruno because my English is not perfect, but Bruno speaks perfectly English, so he will help me and ask you questions. So,
okay, terrific. So are you writing it down, or are you recording it, or what?
We are recording, and after we scribe, and we can submit your interview if you want.
Oh, no, it's okay. If you do a good edit, then you don't need to pass it by me. Just cut out the swear words.
Okay. So, first thing, we are really happy and honored to hear you for the first time because we work in the same way from 20 years now. It is our...
I know.
It is our...
Yeah,
brother.
Long time. How old are you?
I am 53. I am old.
And I am
53, you're still young.
Mm-hmm. I am 69.
And I am 77.
Wow,
bravo.
I saw that internet, that Adbuster at 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
Yes, yes, bravo. So I can we can begin, and it is our first question. What is your sentiment about this period? What do you about 30 years of activism against the society of spectacle of consummation?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that. I can't believe it's been 30 years. Mm. I do remember the original spark, you know, which has very much to do with Guy Debord and the Situationist movement, and that was the spark that that started me off on Adbuster's Media Foundation 30 years ago. And you know, when I think back on the 30 years, then what strikes me most of all is how things have changed, how the early days we were just good lefties, you know, fighting the good fight and then worried a little bit about you know, acid rain and the disappearing forests, and then about halfway through the 30 years, then all of a sudden things became really serious. All of a sudden we noticed that we are in a kind of a climate change, global warming situation, and this has completely changed not just my mind but also the way that Adbusters works. All of a sudden we are in a kind of an apocalyptic mode. We have a feeling that for the first time in human history, you know, we are caught in an existential crisis, and when we are possibly spiraling into a, if things go wrong, if we can't fix the crisis, then we're going to spiral into a 1,000, 5,000, maybe 10,000 year dark age. Mm. So all of a sudden the stakes are very, very high, and some of the campaigns and some of our magazines and some of the ideas we have now are incredibly, there's a kind of a strange, very dark feeling about everything we do.
So you think we are arriving at the end of the system now?
There's a very high possibility. that everything that we've done up to now, all the activism that we've done up to now, isn't going to add up to a hill of beans. You know, that all the, you know, even the walking out on Fridays by the kids and the Extinction Rebellion and all the global strikes and all the activism that's happening, that somehow they are not, you know, they are pointing the fingers at the leaders and saying, oh yeah, look, you know, we're in crisis, you have to do something, but they very rarely explain, you know, what we have to do. And at the moment, and that is why I think we're failing at the moment, even though there's lots of action and lots of excitement, and but somehow it feels like we still have not learned how to stop, you know, we on the left have still not stopped pointing our fingers and being very pessimistic and somehow not really coming up with the big ideas. You know, we are lacking the vision, we're lacking the big ideas. And here at Adbusters right now, you know, we're trying to figure out what the big ideas are. And we call those big ideas meta-memes. And we're saying, okay, what are the half a dozen meta-memes without which a sane, sustainable future is unthinkable? You know, what are the really, really big ideas, the deep down things that have to happen in the inside guts of the global capitalism or the global system, and can we, is it possible for us to come up with two cost markets? Is it possible for us to get rid of secrecy and make secrecy taboo? Is it possible for us to move the tone of the world from a straight line tone to a more of a wriggly, wobbly kind of a more organic kind of a tone? And is it possible for us to do something with corporations, so that we the people rule the corporations rather than they rule us? And can we change the corporate charter? So we are right now brainstorming about those meta memes and trying to give the activists around the world, you know, some real ammunition, so that instead of just pointing fingers, they can also say, look, you know, you leaders, you bastard leaders of the world that are shifting us, you know, you are the people who are running the global doomsday machine, you know, we want the Robin Hood tax, you know, we want the radical transparency, we want this, and to figure out what it is that we really want.
So I have another question about our common work. It is a simple question. It is, do you have any regrets about your work, as we can have also, of course, with Casseurs de Pub in France, about during these 30 years? About your action?
Yeah. I don't know if I have regrets. I look back and I think that there's lots of things that we could have done better, you know. I most of all, I regret that this kind of activist movement that I've been part of for all my life, that somehow we have not succeeded, you know, that we have, that now, you know, 50 years after my university days, when I'm, you know, when I'm looking back, I'm thinking, you know, how is it possible that we are now caught up in a global populist, you know, semi-fascist kind of a political wave that is capturing the imagination of people more than what we are doing. How is it possible that you know, that the right and these global populist movements all around the world, how they are more exciting than what we do? You know, what have we done wrong? What, you know, what is wrong with the political left? What, you know, what the fuck did we do wrong? You know, that is the big question I'm asking myself all the time.
Okay. I would like to speak about the review, about Adbuster, because now there are differences between our work with La Décroissance, because we work most of the time with La Décroissance, and there are a lot of text in La Décroissance, and you have a way more less textual, more graphic. And could you explain this way of making this making Adbuster? Why it is more? Why do you have choice this way, more very graphics? Do you understand?
I didn't quite understand the question. So is this a question about visuals and about graphics visual approach that Adbusters has always taken?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. I think that, first of all, I was a documentary filmmaker for 20 years of my life. So just to, when I started Adbusters 30 years ago, then I was already a very visually driven person, and I knew the power of the images is sometimes much more powerful than the power of the alphabet and the word. Mm. So that's why Adbusters has always been quite visually driven. But also, in this digital age that we live in now, it's really the visuals that are dominant. People are very impatient with the word. People don't like to read more than about 50 words at the same time, before they get impatient and go somewhere else on the internet. So I think we're living in an age where there's a sort of a monumental tone shift in the way that we communicate with each other, and that tone shift is much more, is very much away from the alphabet and from the words, and towards the visual memes, so I think that the language of the future is going to be much more visual, and if we on the left want to succeed and really capture the imagination of the world, then we have to learn how to become, meme warriors. We have to learn how to come up with powerful visual memes that are much more powerful than Pepe the Frog and some of the visual memes that the alt-right has come up with.
Okay. We speak often about great inspirer for us, Illich, Ellul, Debord, Dwayne McDonald. I saw some of these names in Adbuster. And my question is, how these figures are important for Adbuster too? What other figure do you like to quote about our common work?
I must admit that I've been inspired, for years about what you guys do, and especially in the early days, when you first launched, and it was so exciting. I remember being feeling that this was somehow it's very French and very French with a bit of a situationist flavor, and there was everything you did was very inspiring, and now I'm looking, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more, So I think the important step for you and for us and for all activists around the world is to say, all right, now how do we move on? What is our vision for the future, and how can we not just go back and in the glory of what we've done in the past, but how can we move forward and come up with an inspired new vision, that activists all around the world can believe in and can give them the tools that they need to move forward.
Okay, I saw in Adbuster that you quote often Guy Debord. Is it a source of inspiration for important for Adbuster?
Guy Debord, yes, absolutely.
And but not only, also May 68, May 68, I saw that this that reference in Adbuster is present sometimes.
Yes, well, for me, in the after I graduated from university, this was around 1960. Then I started traveling around the world and trying to figure out what the hell was going on and what is my role in life and so on. And it was really 1968, this global wave of activism that started, of course, as you know better than I do, how it started in the Latin Quarter of Paris there, and then somehow expanded to become this huge juggernaut that swept all around the world, for for a few months in 1968. It looks like it was the first global revolution. So this was a very, very powerful influence on me, this realization that that the world revolution is at all possible. You know, it isn't just that there's a French Revolution or a Russian Revolution or some Bolivarian revolution, but it's actually possible for a world revolution to happen. And of course, many, many years later, when we sparked Occupy Wall Street, then it was a second moment when, for a few months, it looked like Occupy Wall Street would suddenly flare up, and then there was 2,000 occupations all around the world, just like there were hundreds and hundreds of protests happening in 1968. And for a few brief months, it felt like, my God, you know, this is a world revolution happening all over again. So I think that 1968 and then Occupy Wall Street, those were two moments in human history, you know, when young people said, my God, you know, it is possible to actually start a world revolution, and now maybe we can, next time we try it, you know, next time maybe we will succeed. So and then after 1968, feeling this wave of youthful vigor, you know, after that I started reading, you know, the situationists, and especially Guy Debord and many of the other situationists, and the influence they had in art, and especially, of course, the Society of Spectacle. And in a way, it was that inspiration that of 1968 and all that that the kind of theory that surrounded the Situationist movement. It was that gave me the power, you know, to start Adbusters 30 years ago.
Okay. Bruno was in Paris at this period.
Yes.
Yeah, you lived it. Yeah, you guys lived it.
Yes, I was in Paris. I was 18. And I didn't know what to do, just like you said. And I spent the whole 3 months in Paris at that time. And then I fled to London because I didn't want to be conscripted in the army.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was an incredible moment. And it politicized a whole generation. You know, some people say, oh, well, 1968, sure, it scared, De Gaulle for a while, and it looked like a world revolution for a few weeks and months, but then it fizzled out, and now people are looking back and shaking their heads and saying, it didn't really work. And they're saying the same thing about Occupy Wall Street. They're saying, oh, Occupy Wall Street, it was interesting for a few months, but then it fizzled out, and then they didn't actually achieve anything. And yet, you know, I think what we achieved was that 1968 politicized our generation, you know, my generation, me, Kalle Larsen, and you guys, you were politicized during that generation, and everything you've done, everything that we've done since then, was all because of what happened in 1968, and this young generation, you know, that were politicized with Occupy Wall Street, you know, they were also politicized, you know, so millions of young people were politicized by Occupy Wall Street, and now we have another chance of another generation, you know, having another crack at world revolution, you know, maybe next year, or maybe 10 years from now, or God knows when, but politicizing generations of young people is really the name of the game.
Okay, justement, you are... From you are Lithuanian. You are from
no, Estonian.
Estonian. Okay, and you spend your youth, jeunesse,
your youth
in Europe. I saw in on internet, and now you spend all your life in North America. I'm not sure, but I read this thing. And what is your sentiment about French European activism from Canada, from Vancouver? Do you have a special sentiment about the activism work in Europe from your country?
Yeah, well, you know, my basic sentiment is that that Europe has got some fascinating ideas, and every now and again you do something that is very inspiring, like some of the protests that have been happening in France and some other places recently. But there's something about Europe. There's a lack of dynamism in Europe somehow. So, for example, when I compare America with Europe, then Europe has all the good ideas, but doesn't have the activism, and America has the dynamism, but not too many of the good ideas. But dynamism is very, very important, you know. A society that has a kind of a hungry anarchist activist feel, where people are constantly doing unpredictable, spontaneous gestures, you know, just like the situationist and Diderbot suggested, and that is the sort of society that that can spark a world revolution. And at the moment, I have a feeling that Europe is in decline, and that Western civilization is actually in decline. And I'm wondering if the next spark for global revolution will not come from the West, and will not come from Europe, and won't come from France like it did in 1968, but it will have to come from somewhere else. You know, it will have to come from Africa or from South America or from I don't know, maybe from Egypt, or maybe from Tunisia, or maybe from Gaza or some other place. So that is my basic feeling right now about Europe and the role it is currently playing in global geopolitics.
Okay. Do you follow the movement about the gilets jaunes, the yellow jacket? Because we talk a lot in France and in Europe about this movement. Do you heard about this French movement?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, and I think I had a feeling that it's there's a certain excitement there. I mean, there's some of the persistence, you know, like at the moment, the interesting thing about world politics is that there's about 20 countries, you know, that are having these major uprisings. You know, there is not just Hong Kong, but there is Haiti, and there is countries in the Middle East and in Africa and in South America. There's, if you add it all up from Chile to Argentina and everywhere else, then there's about 20 countries that have these powerful ongoing uprisings against their government and also against the world system. And to me, you know, this what happened in France, it was one of those uprisings. But I don't know what's happening there now. I have a feeling that it is losing some of its power, no?
Losing power a bit, but it is not finished. I think it depends on the economic situation, and if the economic situation go bad, it will regrow, I think.
Yeah, I think again, it's something that is, you know, politicizing people, and something will happen. So my own feeling is that we are again at the moment in human history when world revolution is possible for the third time. And if there is another global economic meltdown, which is much, much bigger than what happened in 2008, and maybe it can be even much, much bigger than what happened in 1929, and, you know, when there was a big global economic crash then. If we have a big global crash, then all those national uprisings, you know, and the people will be suffering much, much more than they are suffering now. And that will be the moment, you know, when all those people in France and all those people in these other 20 countries and all the activism that has happened for the last 50 years can all culminate in some kind of a global tone shift where there's going to be some very fundamental metamimetic change in the way that you know, that we run the world. So this is my prediction for the future, that there's going to be a global economic meltdown, and then after that anything is possible.
Okay, very interesting. Do you have a question, Bruno? It is okay.
No, it's very, very interesting. I agree with you. We don't know where we are and what we have done.
Yeah.
doesn't seem to have achieved. It has achieved for us on our I would say, too small a niche in a way. Like we still have readers and we have people that are waiting something from us, but only with our publication, there is nothing more we can do.
Yeah, we're just pointing fingers and getting angry.
Right.
But somehow we don't have the vision. We don't have the solutions. But so that's why I think it's important right now. Maybe you can do that in your work, and we will certainly do that in the work that Adbusters does over the next, especially this new year of the rat that's coming up, in a couple of months. Let's go deep, Let's try to figure out what the meta memes are. Let's figure out what are the half a dozen big things that have to change if we're going to have any kind of a sane, sustainable future. And then let's try to have the courage to go deep and change those deep things instead of just mucking around on the surface.
Okay.
Yes, but it will have to be the next generation because we are somehow from the past.
Yeah, but we have the blueprint. I think that the young people, they have the energy, they have the power, and they're doing wonderful things. But they don't have the blueprint, and it is up to us, the older generation, to give them some of that blueprint and something to work on, and then they can take that blueprint to the next level.
Okay, so it's good, Bruno. Oui, oui. It's perfect. I've seen that you spent your youth also in Germany. Do you speak German?
A little bit. I haven't spoken any German for years and years and years, but I lived there for 5 years when I was from the age of 2 years old to the age of 7. For 5 years I was in Germany, so German language is sort of in the back of my brain,
Okay. Bruno spricht Deutsch.
Ja, sprechen Sie Deutsch. Ja, jawohl. But I never really liked German. I never really liked the German language either. There's something about it that I don't really like.
Okay, so I think it's good for our interview. Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, it was very nice to talk to you.
Yes, we were really obliged, and we thank you very much to give us time to answer our questions.
Yeah, let's go forward and fight the good fight and see what happens.
Okay, we'll leave to that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Adios,
very much.
Amigos.
Thank you so
Bye-bye.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
C'est super. Bon, alors. Bon, de toute façon, j'ai noté presque tout ce qui était important, mais on va l'avoir.